Hey guys, I'm Em from the fashion and beauty blog, The Lipstick Fever. When I moved to London over a year ago, I felt like there weren't a ton of obvious resources for women moving abroad or moving cities. My biggest source of strength and growth for my big move was through the inspiring and amazing women from all over the world that I've been meeting. Now, I want to share those conversations with you. We're going to hear from female entrepreneurs, industry experts, and some major female badasses on a global level. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Big Move podcast. I am your host, Em from the Lipstick Fever, and today I'm here with my friend, Jules Von Hepp. He is a podcast presenter and founder and creative director of the award-winning tanning brand Isle of Paradise. Celebrity tanning expert, he's worked with the likes of Lily James, Sienna Miller, and Kate Moss, to name a few. Jules has been in the tanning business for over a decade and has seen more naked bodies than most, having noticed a recurring theme of apologies from his clients over the years based on the appearance of their bodies. Jules' mission to help people overcome their insecurities and embrace their bodies in a positive way was ignited. Jules is now at the forefront of the body positivity movement, and on a daily basis answers questions from his Instagram followers on how they can strive for a more healthy outlook when it comes to their bodies and achieve self-love and inner confidence. Jules, welcome to the podcast.
Oh my God, I really want you to introduce me wherever I go like that. I think I'm going to take that audio soundbite and just be like, play it now. I'm about to walk into the room.
Oh my gosh, I will take it. You gotta like try to put your radio
voice on.
It was
just glorious. Thank you. I really feel like I'm here and present.
Thanks so much for taking the time and coming over. I've been so excited to chat with you for a while, formally on the podcast.
Yeah, very formally.
But we've known each other for a while. I actually met you very early on when I moved to London. So that was like literally 2 years ago. And you were my first fake tan ever. So you gave me my first
cherry.
You did. So your PRE reached out and I came in for my first spray tan ever, but you and I had never met then. So they literally told me to strip down to my thong and were like, okay, like just like round the corner and like Jules would do your spray tan. I'm like, wait, what? I've never met this guy. He's going to see me naked. Like what? But that is so the norm for you. Like that's been your jam.
And I mean, yeah, I get paid to look at naked bodies. That it's a weird and surreal career to have, but there's also it's a skilled career to have because I have to make people feel very comfortable very quickly naked because I haven't bought you dinner, I haven't got you drunk, like you don't actually fancy me and I'm giving you a spray tan, so I need to move fast. But it is a skill set, and that's something that's really shaped the way that my career is going, of making people feel confident and comfortable naked.
Totally. And you're such a natural at it. But and then on the other hand, I know I'm biased, but you and I have mutual friends, and I feel like they're kind of the best people in London.
Amen.
So we've got like Danielle Pizer, who has been on the podcast before, obviously, and then Vanessa, and I feel like a slew of others. So
London is one of those places where you sit in a clique together, but it's not Mean Girls clique; it's just nice clique. And
yeah.
If you realize that, oh, actually, we're all on the same wavelength and we're good, kind people,
yeah,
then you look out for each other because we all moved to London for work, but we leave our families behind, and so you actually have to become each other's family.
Yeah. Oh, that's such a good explanation. I like that. Okay, cool. So we're gonna kind of jump right into it. I just have a couple little icebreaker questions for you.
Okay.
Before we start off, so 'tis the festive season in London town. This is arguably like my favorite time to be living in London. Do you have a favorite thing about this time of year?
Oh gosh, I only just started to like this time of year about a year ago. The run-up to Christmas for me, especially as somebody whose background is beauty, is very stressful. It's lots of running around town, giving spray tans, giving treatments. Any hairdresser, manicurist, masseuse will know this. It's give, give, give. And it's never been about that for me. And then also, I used to work on Dancing with the Stars, Strictly Come Dancing. So this time of year for me was no weekends. And then before that, I did the X Factor. So winter months have not been my favorites.
Okay, that's so fair. Okay.
Now, I love I like the fact that people are more drawn to spending time with one another, and it's a real, we need to celebrate Christmas, we need to meet up, we need to have dinners. And actually, like, it should be like that all year round, but at this time of year I like the togetherness that it brings, definitely.
Okay, cool.
And I'm also so organized this time, like this year I have started Christmas shopping, I've started getting everything done, and I feel like an absolute boss bitch.
Oh my god, good for you.
Thank you. I don't know who I am. Like, I had to look in the mirror today and I was like, look at you shopping already, like purchasing these gifts lists, like I'm killing it.
I love it. I mean, you kind of have to get ahead, I think, and then you're just gonna, you're gonna feel better and more buttoned up in the rest of the, you know, the rest of the season.
Oh, like, listen, this is just, I know it's gonna be like a week fad. I'm gonna be like, it'll be Christmas Eve and I'll be like, oh, what happened? What's gone wrong? And I'll be Christmas shopping last minute.
True. Okay, second icebreaker question. Is there been like a craziest thing you've ever had to do for a celebrity client?
Being a celebrity spray tanner does put you in some very weird positions. I once had to spray tan a client in a fire escape on a roof because her room was so dark I couldn't see what I was doing. There were paparazzi all around and I had to put a bag on her head, like a paper bag, and spray tan her really quickly, put her inside the house and then spray tan her face.
Oh my God.
There has also been, there's been numerous moments where you find just that, like moisturizing Jerry Hall's knees. That was like a weird scenario to be in. Or meeting Mary Berry backstage at Strictly as she was getting into a cake. And you're like, sure, this is my life. Like, and you try and explain it to anybody outside of that world. And they're like, what are you talking about? But it is just, it's just a world of back-to-back surreal scenarios.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh my God, this is too hysterical. Okay, so we're going to kind of jump into things, talk about your background. So I know that you are a northerner, quote unquote, but for those of us maybe outside of the UK, can you tell us a little bit more about like where exactly you're from and what life was like growing up there?
So I am originally from Yorkshire, which is in the north of the UK. I was born in a town called Ilkley. We then moved to the Midlands, so Nottinghamshire, where Robin Hood is from. Growing up around there, I'm 33 now, so I grew up very much in the time of CDs, cassettes. It was idyllic and also hard. I grew up very much in the era of you need to be thin to be happy. What you look like defines who you are as a person. And homophobia was really rife at that time. And that is not an easy place to grow up. I then moved to Manchester, went to uni there. Manchester's a really big city in the UK. I think it's the second or the third biggest city. A very fluid, open, accepting city, really amazing. And then I flipped a coin and moved to Australia, lived in Sydney for a year working in magazines, and then moved back and then moved to London. So I've lived in London for 10 years now.
Okay, amazing. I totally forgot about your Sydney stint.
Yes, doll. I lived in Australia.
I love that. What was that experience like in comparison to London?
I found myself in Sydney. It was a decision that came from chance, watching that coin land on heads. And to be honest, I was pretty white girl when I booked that flight. Like, I went, logged on, booked my tickets, woke up the next morning. I was like, oh no, I booked a one-way ticket to Australia. Went, no job, no friends, and had no choice but to get on with it. I didn't have enough money to get my return ticket, so had to find a job. Made so many friends and realized that actually I'm going to be okay. I can move to another city. I can make friends. I can find work. I found my own 2 feet and I really found my confidence in Australia. I try and go back once a year at least with work. Yeah. I was lucky. I'm lucky to have clients that live in Australia, so I still get flown over to do tans over there. And then also Isle of Paradise now sells in Mecca, which is a big beauty retailer there. But whenever I go to Australia, it's this happy place and it just fills me with inspiration, with positive vibes. I love the beach. I love everything that Australia has to offer. I just don't like those long haul flights.
Oh my gosh, I can't imagine. It's like, isn't it like almost like a 24-hour travel?
Like 26.
Yeah, more than that.
26 hours. Yeah. It's a commitment.
Yeah, Completely. Okay. And I know you've spent a ton of time in NYC, especially with your work now. So how do you feel London and NYC maybe kind of compare and then also differ?
New York feels like a second home now. I'm there once a month to once every 6 weeks. New York to London, the pace is very similar. I find them, the electric vibe on the street is similar. The difference is I feel that Londoners will really take you under their wing and they'll really look after you. New York is a bit more cutthroat and it's a bit more, you've got to work hard to get into those groups. And once you get in, you're in, but it's harder to get in, I think. Also, New York is so expensive. It's so expensive and no one eats in and there's no like, come round to mine, I'll cook dinner. It's a lot of eat out. I feel like it's easier to eat healthy in New York than it is in London.
Yeah, I could agree with that.
I always eat really well. Mm-hmm. And the service is so much better in America because you guys have to mm-hmm. work hard for yes. it. But I love working between the two. I actually prefer shopping in New York. I feel like the shopping is so much better. I'm a Williamsburg boy through and through.
Oh my gosh. Oh, I miss Williamsburg. I lived there for about a year.
So good. Prior to
moving. It's so good. Okay, I love that. So we'll kind of jump into your career trajectory. So first and foremost, when and where did your career in tanning kind of really start for you?
Let's get one thing clear. Like, I never wanted a career in spray tanning. It was not something that I woke up and was like, oh my God, I want to be a spray tanner when I grow up. It was totally a career that found me. I had worked in marketing. I'd worked in product development. I went from fashion to then going into beauty. I was writing about beauty in Australia. And then I met a lady called Nicola Joss. Now, Nicola Joss is a celebrity facialist. She works with everybody from Sandra Bullock to Julia Roberts to Kate Moss, everybody you could ever think of. And I met her randomly on a shoot. And Nicola said to me, I think you would be an amazing spray tanner. I was like, are you kidding me, bitch, please? Like, I don't think so. But I actually fell in love with the connection that I had to clients. I fell in love with meeting people every single day. And my job was literally just to make them feel good. Like, that's all I had to do. And make them feel confident in their own skin. And then that's what I got addicted to. It was never been about the actual tan. It's about the feeling that you have when you look in front of the mirror after you've had the tan, after you've been naked with me.
Yeah.
That feeling, that hit of confidence, that's what I loved giving and still love giving now. It just progressed and progressed. My lucky break came from tanning a makeup artist called Natalia Nair. She said, you are really good at spray tanning. You know that. And I was like, I don't know, actually. Like, I feel like I'm good, but surely anyone can paint a fence. Like, I didn't have a sliding scale of if I was good or not. She said, I'm actually the head makeup artist on The X Factor. And from that, I started working backstage in TV. I was still had a desk job at the time. So I was working 7 days a week for 7 days a week for 3 months. I was on no money, but I just loved it. I loved, like, I was in this crazy world where Lady Gaga would walk past me on a weekend, but like backstage in TV, Kelly Rowland was in the dressing room next door. But then on Monday morning, I would go to my desk job and not tell anyone what I was doing. And it was this really surreal place to be because I could feel in my gut that I was enjoying the way that my career was taking me. But I had to also be smart about money because in this industry and in beauty especially, it doesn't pay when you're assisting. It doesn't pay when you're at the bottom, but you have to keep going for 5 years and then you really start to reap the rewards. But it is 5 years of solid, hardcore graft. Like I've done spray tans at 1 a.m, 2 a.m, traveled all around the country giving the gift of glow, as they say, but on no money. And I had to just follow my passion. I had to follow what made me feel good. And then it's all worked out.
Completely. And then what was your desk job at the time?
So I was working in marketing.
Okay.
Marketing, product development. I was in beauty, but working on hair care, working on like bath and body, really like not where I saw myself going, but it was all interlinked anyway. It was not like I was like doing someone's books in an accountancy firm. Like that's never been my vibe, but I knew that I didn't want that desk job, spreadsheets, targets, all of that. I wanted the human connection.
Yeah, absolutely. And then so from there, when did the idea for Isle of Paradise really kind of come about?
So I had been working for a spray tanner for 8 years. I had tried everything in my kit. And I just noticed that whenever I was doing the tan, I couldn't get the color right. It was never what I wanted. A client would say to me, I just want to glow. Like, I'm not here to have a tan. I want to look healthy. I want to look glowing. Or I'm really stressed at work. I want to hide the fact that I look shattered. Or I want a dark tan, but I don't want to go orange. I was working on Dancing with the Stars, and in my kit, obviously, I'd do the spray tan. Then the next day, I would see my client, and they'd have to go on TV. And I would have to cover the areas that my tan that I was using had created an orange shade, or it hadn't hidden the redness, or it wasn't giving the glow that they'd asked for. So I was mixing peach color corrected makeup on top in with my instant tan, mixing green based color corrective, and then violet color corrective to hide orange tones. So I was already making Isle of Paradise myself in my kit. I then met my business partner who really believed in me and saw something that I couldn't see in myself. And he said, you know, I think, have you ever thought about it? And I said, well, funnily enough, yes, I'm making these products. I also hate the fact that when I'm working on photo shoots, I will be shooting with a model. And then I look at the monitor to look at the skin. The model looks like the model that I've just worked with on set. And then 3 months later, a bus drives past me with that same campaign, and that model looks nothing like she did on the photo shoot. And I said, honestly, I'm really struggling with that, and I'm really struggling with my existence within the beauty industry, because I felt like I was feeding this constant lie. I can't lie. And so I found it difficult. So I knew that the message of Isle of Paradise had to be real. It had to be honest. It had to show that, yes, yeah, sometimes we make mistakes with tan, and not everybody, you're not going to look like a glowing goddess that's been delivered from Aphrodite herself every single time. Like, that's not real life. And so the way that Isle of Paradise's message, the products, is all, it literally is my career in a bottle.
Yeah, absolutely. I love how like natural that was for you. Like, you, there was an issue, there was a problem with the existing tan, and you wanted to solve that. And you obviously have with your line of products, but it seemed just like very organic.
Because it comes from a truthful place, and body positivity within campaigns now is a standard thing. When Isle of Paradise launched, it really wasn't. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a definite, I feel proud to be changing the beauty industry massively. And I'm not an idiot. I know why it's happened, but I never did it to have a trend. I wanted the girl who was buying the product to feel like she was part of everyday life, but also a crew that gets her, because that's how I am as a person. Come as you are. You can always sit with me. It doesn't matter about how you look. That's actually the least interesting part about you. But the gift of tan makes you feel more confident. It makes you feel like you. So then you're going to present yourself better in terms of what you say, how you are, how you hold yourself. And that's our whole message, my whole message. It's so important. And it really resonated in America. It really resonated here and in Australia. It's been a really, I think, myself included, there's a whole feeling of just complete refreshment.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and that kind of takes me to my next questions around like body positivity. So your brand was the first tanning brand in the world to use a curve model in its campaign. And then this summer, you guys did a body positivity campaign that went like completely viral. The content was absolutely insane. So it sounds like, I mean, my question was, you know, kind of what sparked it, but it sounds like it was just a really natural thing for you from the very beginning.
From the get-go, because I couldn't understand why I was working with a body shape of just that run-of-the-mill model that we're seeing in so many campaigns, when actually the majority of my clients didn't look like that. I wanted women to be truly representative, because as a spray tanner, all I do is look at naked women. So I know what a true representation is, and that wasn't happening. And that's where it came from. It was never about trend. It was never about selling something to tick a box. It's never been about that. Our Get Body Posse campaign this year was to really extend that, of going, self-tan literally is for everybody. I wrote a book this year about how to get more body positive, because I've learned it along the way. Being a spray tanner helped me with my own body image, and I wanted to teach people that, because there's something really cathartic about when you apply tan, like you're naked in front of a mirror rubbing your body. There is a real link between body confidence and tan, not only because of how your skin looks afterwards, but also about the process of doing it. So yeah, it's just always been an ingrained thing within my self.
Absolutely. And so you guys launched literally 2017, not so long ago at all. Do you feel like there was a turning point for the brand, or something that kind of really helped to take things off? Was it the body positivity campaign, or was it something else?
I think if you're going to launch a beauty brand, you have to make sure that you've dotted all your I's and crossed all your T's. Your product is the thing that actually really needs to be the best thing. It needs to do what it says it's going to do. And then everything around it needs to be bang on as well. I think there was, on the run up to Isle of Paradise launching, obviously I had to keep it so secret, so secret. And I was nervous. I knew that this was my whole career. I kept thinking, like, am I going to have to retrain, and am I gonna have to leave London and get another job, and what am I gonna do? I remember staring in front of the mirror going, oh my god. But when it launched, there wasn't a moment. It was just an explosion, because I think that the tanning market and the beauty market and us as consumers, it was so different and so refreshing. And in one way, I'm really proud of it, and in another way, I'm really sad that it took me to have to do that. It should have been done 10 years ago. But the momentum just kept building, because the products are amazing. And because the products are amazing, tan is this lovely ripple effect where you will recommend it to a friend and you'll talk about it, because nobody wants to smell of biscuits. Nobody wants to be orange. Nobody wants streaks. And finally, the holy grail has been delivered, because 10 years I have been practicing, watching skin shed, watching tans fade. So that really was how it got to where it got to. There were pinch me moments along the way, huge pinch me moments, like meeting Jen Atkin in a Sephora conference, knowing damn well who Jen Atkin was.
Completely.
And her coming to me saying, oh my God, I love this brand. I bought this the other week. I love it.
Yes.
Then my assistant the other week messaged me, and she was serving someone in Sephora in LA, and it was Drake's mum, and she was buying Isle of Paradise.
Oh my God.
And there's this, like, Kim Kardashian put it on her blog as one of the best tans. And there are loads of pinch me moments like that that just keep bouncing one after the other. And
sure.
At first, it's really hard to mentally process. And you're like, oh my God, I need to lie in a dark room and just like have smelling salts to bring me back round, because this is so intense. And in the other moment, it's this amazing feeling and accolade of going, oh my God, I did it. I put out a product that people just love. And that's amazing.
Absolutely. And okay, on the note of Sephora, and please correct me if I'm wrong, it is not an easy feat to, as a new beauty brand, be kind of released and launched. And were you launched in the US first, or?
No, we launched in the UK first, then the US, but we were pitching all at the same time.
Okay.
I never, ever in my wildest dreams thought that I would have a brand in Sephora. I need to get that really straight. I thought Isle of Paradise was going to be this little cute indie brand that was going to be sold in boutiques alongside the odd bit of rose quartz. Like, that's sure. Where I, like, that's as far as my vision took me.
Yeah.
And then we pitched in the UK, and Boots were like, oh my God, this is amazing. And my business partner said, you know, I think we should just take a risk and pitch. And Sephora were like, yeah, we'll have the meeting. I was freaking out. I had to miss a best friend's wedding to go in Australia. So shit was tense.
Okay, sure.
And I remember being outside their offices in San Francisco and literally I was a mess. I just was like, oh my God, I don't know if we can do this. And I went in and it was like being on The Apprentice. And in their office, they have all black and white striped walls. They've got all their campaigns. Sure. Right. You've got the head of skincare buying in front of you. And you just pitch your dream. You just pitch it and go, this is where I see this brand going. Yep, we'll take it. And
oh my gosh.
Literally like that. And three tanning brands came out of Sephora and Isle of Paradise went in. And Isle of Paradise is now one of the leading self-tan brands in the world. Sephora is... This sounds so insane, but I can't walk into a Sephora without one of their cast members going, I love your tan.
Amazing.
Because they all watch the training videos and they all... They really are engaged with products. They are the most insanely trained staff in the world. It's one of my favorite retail experiences. And... to see my baby on that shelf alongside some incredible beauty brands is unbelievable.
It is also unbelievable.
Like each person who has their own brand in Sephora has their own journey. Not everyone has come from backstage. So like Mariana Hewitt has come from the influencer world, but her products are actually really good. Then there's obviously Fenty with Rihanna. Then there's people like Charlotte Tilbury and me who've come from backstage. So when you have everyone together, it's a really interesting... It's like everyone's got here somehow because we all love beauty in one way or another. Not everyone comes from backstage.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so in that pitch meeting, like what do you think were like the one to two things that like really sold them? That they were like, yeah, great, well, let's do this.
I think Isle of Paradise's technology is... completely non-comparable to any other brand because no one could have thought of that idea because no one had my career. No one was making the product backstage in a little pot to put on celebrities to make them look more natural on television. That's literally like the crux of it. But because of my pure belief of body confidence and honest and real messaging, and also the products are amazing. They're really good. And Sephora buyers will try them before and they'll be like, oh, yeah, this doesn't smell. This actually is doing what it says it's going to do. I think it's just a combination of everything. And they trial it. They don't just put it on every single door.
Sure.
They trial it. And then they gave us a huge launch where we were in every Sephora on towers. And it was this huge, all singing, all dancing. I think they gave us the same launch as they gave Fenty or something crazy like that. Yeah. So to even be told that and be in that remit, yeah, I needed to really process it for a while. Yeah,
completely. Okay. On a different note, you have so much going on now with your brand. How do you juggle work and personal life?
In the first year of juggling work and personal life, it was really hard. Something that nobody really ever warned me about launching a brand is how much time you don't have. So in that first year, and like, you don't earn any money in your first year. So I was on economy flights. I was staying in ratchet hotels. It was really, really hard. And because you're not seeing your friends and you're not around, I actually lost a lot of friends. There's a lot of people I don't speak to anymore because I just couldn't have negativity in my life in any shape or form. On the flip, I've made loads of amazing new friends. So it's great. Now the team is bigger. It's much easier to juggle personal life and work life. And also the two kind of fuse together.
Sure.
I'm inspired by my personal life and that drives me into my work life because I make products for people's personal lives. So it really, it all is very fluid and together. Travel is really hard. Mm-hmm. My boyfriend and I very much had to get into a routine of how we communicate when we travel because that is, it's difficult. Like next week, so on Monday, this is a typical month. Monday, I go to Stockholm. Isle of Paradise sells in Stockholm. I'm there for 3 days. I then go to the Netherlands. I then fly to New York. I then fly to San Francisco, then LA, then I come home. I'm away for 2 weeks. I'm on so many different time zones. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to pack at the moment. I don't even know if I have enough pairs of underwear to last me 14 days. let alone any mishaps. So I've really got to think this through, and I'm trying to pack everything out whilst doing a day job at the moment. So it's difficult.
Yeah, absolutely. And
nobody knows what they're doing. That's something that I've really learned. Mm-hmm. There is no... You meet these founders, you meet these incredible people within the industry. They're all as clueless as each other. We're all like bumbling along.
Right. You just learn as you go.
Yeah. I'm just like throwing pasta at the wall. And if something sticks, then great. I'll go with that one.
Yeah.
But
yeah, completely.
I'm not a genius, and I'm not going to pretend to be.
Yeah. Okay. So I kind of want to dig into the brand a little bit in more detail. But before we get into that, I kind of want to talk on tanning trends really quickly. So I know from my seat coming from New York, 2 years and change now, I noticed fake tanning was massive over in the UK when I first got here, like really big, bigger than I feel like back home. But I'm curious from your standpoint, how do you see tanning kind of differ from, say, like a US versus UK perspective?
It's really funny because I've worked in tanning for so long, and there really are global trends for sure. In the UK, we are split north and south. In the north of the UK, it's very much a staple product for a night out. Darker tans, much more in the UK. Down in the south, it's much more about a glow and a kiss of color. In America, it's really split. It's split. New York is all about the undetectable tan. Everyone just wants a little kiss. LA, they want it dark. Texas, they want it dark. Chicago, they just want that medium tan. There is regionally a difference. A difference between America and the UK. You have way more Hispanic olive skin tones within America. So they lean much more into that medium golden tan. Whereas in the UK, we have Celtic skin. Celtic skin really needs dark tan to get it golden. So you see a real difference from what people are leaning into purely because of skin type and tone. Australia need everything to develop under 4 hours because of the humidity, because they sweat their tan off, so they can't be sleeping in tan. Okay. So express tans were born from Australia. And I actually remember finding one to use in my kit, flew back, told the brand that I was signed to at the time about this tan, and they developed it. And that's why we have express tans in the UK. Thank you. I single-handedly introduced tan to Sweden. No
oh my
joke.
God, that's hysterical.
Yeah, I know. I want it on my tombstone.
Okay, that breakdown makes so much more sense than what I had in my head, FYI. Okay, cool. So Isle of Paradise is known in the industry as a clean tanning brand. Can you kind of talk us through the product formulation, maybe some of like the key ingredients?
So clean tanning, to decode it for you, Sephora have a clean wall within their retail environment. To get on a clean list means that you literally can put nothing in your products. So no parabens, mineral oils, phthalates, like sulfites. There's this long list of things that you can't have. Now, many, many beauty products have them in because they act as a stabilizer to keeping all the ingredients within one place, and nothing separates, nothing goes a bit dodgy. Clean means that when you're putting it onto your skin, there's none of those ingredients absorbed in. So to have a brand that is clean, we are the only clean tanning brand in the world. Some of our key ingredients are avocado oil, chia seed oil, sage oil, because they hydrate the tan. And our fragrance, you'll note that a lot of traditional brands have cherry, vanilla, really sickly smelling, thick fragrances that will mask over that self-tan smell. I didn't want that. I wanted refreshment. So cucumber, peppermint, eucalyptus. So you actually smell refreshing. The ingredient that tans you is called DHA. This stands for deoxyhydroacetone, and it's it's derived from sugar beet. So like, you imagine if you got beetroot and you rubbed it on your skin, it would stain the skin. It's pretty much the same reaction. It dyes the top two layers of your skin, and as your skin sheds, that's when the tan comes off. Our DHA is sourced from an organic DHA farm in France, and it's the best DHA available on the market in the world today.
Okay, incredible.
Techie.
Techie.
You were literally looking at me like, oh my God, I thought you were just a good time with an Aperol. Now you actually know your stuff.
Like completely mind blown. And just the explanation on being clean alone, because I think it gets thrown around a lot.
Yeah.
And so I think it's really important to educate ourselves on it, honestly.
I think if you are listening and you're like, what is clean? Honestly, the Sephora Clean Wall, have a look. If you're in America, if you're not in America, just have a look and see what brands are on there. Their rules are so strict. And if you are really thinking about going clean, those are the kind of brands that I would look into if you're thinking about it there. Don't necessarily trust your brands and what they say on social. Mm-hmm. I see a lot of skincare beauty brands saying that they're clean and you look on the back and honey, you ain't clean.
Yeah, yeah.
So really look at that Sephora clean list, because that is an amazing place to start.
Okay, great. What are some kind of cult favorites from Isle of Paradise?
The Green Water is my absolute favorite. When you launch a brand, you don't know what's going to be the bestseller. You're like, okay, here's 13 products. Let's see what happens. But Green Water is our number one hero. It's super easy to use. You spray onto the skin like a mist at the beach. That's the best way to describe it, like an SPF. You rub it into your skin, wash your hands after use, and within 4 to 6 hours you have a golden glow. The drops for me are an absolute game changer, especially at this time of year when we're not really showing our bodies as much and we can patchwork tan. So just tan your arms and your face and maybe your feet. Although I've started tanning my legs actually while I'm in the gym. I can't bear looking at milk bottles in the back of me in the mirror. But you can add like 2 to 4 drops in with your facial moisturizer, serum or foundation, and it turns that product into tan. You can also mix it in with a body butter and it will make your body moisturizer a tanning product. So no stained sheets, no whole process, no faff, no rigmarole. It literally, they just slot into your regime. Personally, I love all the product. I feel like a parent with Isle of Paradise. I'm like, they're all great.
Yeah.
They really are all great. But just if you're thinking, oh God, which product do I pick? Think about what your routine is like. Think about what your regime is. And if you moisturize a lot, great, choose the drops. If you want a traditional self-tanner and you want that element of control, choose a mousse. If you want something easy, light, refreshing that you can use, then choose the water. But it's totally up to you. It's the same. You'll get the same type of tan. It's just a different way to get there.
Okay, cool. And in talking about the at-home tanning process, that time of year, we're all doing a little bit of extra pampering for events, parties, stuff like that. What is like kind of going back to basics tanning 101 from start to finish? Like what's the best way and process? Like obviously exfoliation, is that like the first?
Oh, exfoliate is one of the golden rules. This removes all the dead skin that you have on the surface. I know it's rank, but we all carry it. If you take that all off, it means that your tan goes on very evenly, but it means that it will fade super evenly as well. I can always tell if a client has exfoliated or not. Moisturize your dry areas. So hands, elbows, knees, and feet. If you have any eczema or psoriasis, put moisturizer on those areas too. Any pimples or age spots on your face, take a Q-tip or a cotton bud and then put moisturizer on these areas. And if you're blonde, then put moisturizer on your eyebrows and hairline too.
Okay, good tip.
With tanning, as a rule, 1 coat on the face and 2 coats or layers on the body. A overly dark face gives the game away. You remember that the whole reason of using fake tan is to look like you've been on holiday, not to look like you're wearing fake tan. After you've applied everything, just like makeup, if in doubt, blend it out. So if you wrists, key area, re-moisturize your hands, put a towel on the back of the door and rub your wrists together and it will buff all that inner wrist area, and rub your knuckles on the towel too. Do the same on the soles of your feet, around your toes and on your ankles. If you are nervous about streaks all around the body, take an applicator mitt and literally rub it on the skin in lengthwise motions until the mitt feels dry. And it means that you've kept blending the tan out. To tan your back, put a mitt on a wooden spoon, tape it on, pump on the spoon and literally buff and keep rubbing that mitt until it goes dry. I really would love to say, oh, buy this back applicator. But seriously, a wooden spoon, it is all you need to know. Wipe palms, wipe nails, wipe in between fingers. and tan your face every other day.
Okay, brilliant.
I feel like I've literally just given you a whole magazine article there in one. I'm like, there you go, honey.
You basically did. Thank you for that. Are there any kind of exciting launches or things coming up for Isle of Paradise that you'd like to share today?
Oh, there is, but I'm not allowed to tell you yet. Okay. Next year, we have some big launches, some industry firsts. But we're also all about, I mean, we are so young. We'll have our second birthday party in March. Like, that's how young we are. So we're still educating new people in the tanning world to how to use our products. We have to keep focusing on that. An amazing product to use at this time of year is our Disco Tan. It's an instant tan. It's like makeup for the body. If you've never tanned before and you're really thinking, oh, I really want brown legs for this dress that I've got to wear to this party, go for that. You won't be disappointed.
Okay, perfect. So you are also a podcaster yourself. If you're unable to tell by listening, well, I mean, come on. But can you tell us the premise of each? So you have two shows, the Jules and Sarah podcast with your friend Sarah, and then Wobble.
Yes. So I podcast twice a week with Sarah Powell on the Jules and Sarah show. This was created literally so we could see each other more, but we wanted to teach people that you don't have to spend money to have fun. Everything is funny. You just need to spot the funny moments. We literally talk about food. We talk about our mums. We talk about local news stories. We've been podcasting for 4 years. We're OG in the podcast world, but it's literally there to make you feel great. Wobble was born off the back of Jules and Sarah. So from Jules and Sarah, our listeners, the Port Salut crew, kept messaging saying, I'm having a really hard time and your podcast is just making me feel better, so thank you. And Sarah and I thought, you know, we need to open up the conversation about having a hard time, because it's not a negative thing to talk about how we feel. So on Wobble, we have so many different types of guests talking about the things that make them wobble, whether it's physical, whether it's mental. It's like free therapy. I have changed my life from being a co-host on that show. Like, incredible advice every single week from incredible men and women. So if you haven't listened, please go over and listen and join in the conversation. But podcasting is such an amazing, I just love it. I feel very at home with a microphone in my hand, but it's an exciting world. But podcasting definitely changed my life. Definitely.
I couldn't agree more. That's why we're here today.
Amen, sister.
So as a last question, on the note of body positivity and insecurities, do you have any like couple pieces of advice for those of us maybe needing a little extra boost of confidence this year? It can be anything.
I think it's all about remembering that you're living your life in your lane. So if you're going to a party, if you're going to an event, if something's making you nervous, remember that you are not defined by how you look. You are not defined by what boots she's wearing. You are not defined by that bracelet that someone else has got. Those are material goods. What actually you are defined by is, do you smile? Do you crack jokes? Are you kind? Are you caring? Are you warm? They really make you who you are. And that's probably what somebody's going to talk about once you've left. No one's going to really talk about what you're wearing too much. I think when you think about life and what you have been given, when this is so morbid, but I always try and tell people this, when you die, do you honestly think you're going to remember that feeling of just before you walked into a party and feeling nervous? Or do you think you're going to remember all those times you stood in front of the mirror and you bitched about your body? Or do you think you're going to remember that amazing wedding you went to, that amazing like birth of that child, or your grandma's 90th birthday? Those are the things that you're going to remember. You are not going to remember all the little tiny nasty thoughts that you say to yourself or you do or any of that. So always think of the bigger picture. Remember that it's okay to not feel okay. It's really cool to talk about not feeling okay. And you got this, babe.
I love that. It's the perfect place to end. Thank you so much for coming on today. But before you go, where can everybody keep up with Jules, keep up with Isle of Paradise, all of that good stuff.
So you can come and find me on Instagram. I'm at Jules Von Hepp. Isle of Paradise is at the Isle of Paradise. My podcast is Jules and Sarah. The other podcast is Wobble. And my co-host is this Sarah Powell.
Amazing. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. And please keep an eye out on my Instagram at The Lipstick Fever. We are going to do a little product giveaway for Isle of Paradise. We don't know what it's going to be yet, but it'll be good. So keep an eye out. And don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes. And we will see you later. Bye.